Hey, you guys, welcome to Regardless. I am so excited to have you here. Regardless is the go-to hub for tips and tools to keep you going, babe, reminding you that you've got this. Hi, you guys. So as you know, it's super important for me to come onto this platform and this podcast and to be just very real and raw about what's happening in my life, in my community's life in real time. And obviously, this is a very devastating and stressful time for LA. And of course, I've been individually impacted by the fires on some sort of level, but there are other 20-somethings out there who have been even more unfortunately impacted than I have. And I thought it was important for me, and I have this calling to bring a voice onto the podcast today to share her experience with the fires. And so with that being said, Bella, my sweet girl, my sweet friend, I wanted to give you the space and give you the mic to share what the frick is going on. I know that you've not only been impacted by the fires personally because of how freaking hard and devastating this is, but two pillars in your life, being your mom and your dad, have been affected by the devastation of these wildfires. And I really just want to sit down with you, unpack this, talk about it. Like, you were born in the Palisades. Like, this is everything and more to you. This is your world. Yeah. And now it's completely gone.
It's crazy. It's one of the most, it's the most insane thing I've ever experienced in my life. And seeing my parents like this and just, there's no way to wrap your head around it. Honestly, I think I'm partially still in shock because you feel like you're just going to go home, but you can't, you know, you physically can't. It doesn't even exist anymore. So it's been really hard.
Okay, so babe, talk to me. So so both of your parents live in the Palisades. Yeah. So obviously they're separated. Like,
yes.
Talk to me a little bit more about like what life looked like. And before. If this is too much for you, like we don't have to into all the details, but just like I want to story tell a little bit for those who are listening, for those who've also lost maybe a home or maybe their family's home. Like, what was life like in the Palisades before all of this freaking shit went down?
Gosh. Well, it's interesting you say that too, because I was speaking with a friend who also lost her home. Her parents are also divorced, and she was just relieved to talk to someone who also understands what it's like having a house that's split in two. And funny enough, my dad, not funny, had a third house that he was renting out that actually split in half. Like, the house split down the middle because the water wasn't shut off. So I can touch on that later. But we lost three houses, which was just crazy. But, I mean, pre-fires, the Palisades was the most idyllic, beautiful place I have ever been to in my life. I was lucky enough. My parents brought me home in our Swarthmore house when they were obviously together. My dad hasn't left 26 years. He's remarried and, you know, he actually just redid that house.
Wait, babe, where in the Palisades is the dad's?
My dad's on Swarthmore. And it's that street that's lined with palm trees where the bluffs are. And every video that I've seen on Instagram that says, oh, this is what the Palisades looked like before, it has
this
street.
That's where
your dad's at. It's just – he was one house in – so you have this little one-story cute little house. He has his studio in the back. He's a composer for film and TV. So he worked from home. You can see the ocean. Like, we were so, so lucky. It was the most amazing upbringing. Couldn't have asked for a better childhood, a more safe space. Yeah. I mean, every time you went to the Palisades, I'm sure you can relate. You felt like you could just exhale.
Yep.
You could walk around. You don't have to worry about, you know, safety. We had our doors unlocked. There were kids everywhere. Like, and let alone, it was just beautiful. You caught every sunset, spent as much time outside as you possibly could. You knew your mailman. You knew your UPS guy. You knew every barista. It was just that type of community, as cliche as it sounds. Everything that everyone's saying really is true.
Yeah.
Especially when you've been rooted there for as long as my family has been. So yeah, they were together until I was about 10 years old and then they split, and we were lucky enough to have an amicable divorce in that regard. My mom moved a half mile away, so they were really close.
Same neighborhood.
Neighborhood, which it was great until the fires, and then it wasn't because obviously they're so close in proximity that they both went down. But we were lucky enough to have, you know, a good split family, but we were able to spend holidays together, and we had a family group chat, and it was kind in that way. Mm-hmm. And then my dad
props to your parents, first of all.
Yes.
Very rare.
Very rare.
Love that.
Oh my gosh. It was so lucky because I know a lot of people who their parents won't speak. Yeah. And then my dad got remarried last year and things have changed a little bit with how much my parents communicate and how much we communicate as a family, but still just very lucky to have had the, you know, the time that we did to spend Christmas and Thanksgiving in that house and with each other. But
it's kind of crazy because if we look at the Palisades, like for me, especially going there, if I think about like why I'm in LA, right? Obviously, my network, my friends, my tribe, like I have family members here, my business, wanting to make it in the entertainment industry, all of those things are very important. But like the reason why I picked Brentwood, and I'm sure you feel the same way about the Palisades, is like because the Palisades is like in my backyard. It's like
literally.
Will Rogers, Malibu, like that was my.
We love Will Rogers. We would go all the time. Like I
know.
I understand.
Or even just like going out for like friends get togethers and picnicking at the Palisades Park or walking to Erewhon. Like all of those things were like basically for me at least, the number one reason why I loved living in Brentwood in LA and on the West Side.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine having actual roots and a family and get togethers and even more of those like deeper memories there. I just want to hold space for you and like grieve that with you because even for me just living here for the past 4 years and my dad growing up in Malibu and his childhood home being now completely gone and destroyed by the fires, like I guess that to me I feel a little bit closer to it, but I cannot imagine having both sides of your family as well as your boyfriend and his family being so close to it as well. Like this is your world.
Completely. I spent every waking moment that I could there. And you're the same. Like, I was in Santa Monica, so I could drive there every day.
And your Pilates, neighborhood Pilates.
Yeah,
Is it still there?
No.
Okay.
Studio's gone. I went to the YMCA there every day. Gone. Yeah. I mean, we got evacuated. I was working out. It was 10:30 in the morning. I had a little bit of a heavy feeling that day. It was just weird. It was like the similar feeling when COVID happened. It was very, like, intuitive. Mm. And all of a sudden, the fire marshal comes in. He's like, everyone has to evacuate right now. And as California kids, I'm sure we're used to like growing up, you know, you evacuate like no tomorrow. It's, you know, almost expected. You're like, okay. And so I went down the street to go let my dad know. And, you know, he was working. He had no idea he was in the studio. And it's like this man cave, but he has this piano and all of his things. And he comes outside and the sky is just like this plume of smoke. So we went to go look at it and you could just see the fire like swallowing this hill called Lockman by Marquez area. And it was just like nothing I've ever seen
apocalyptic.
And I left kind of thinking, you know, they might have to evacuate, but surely there's no way that it's going to come all the way down the hill across Temescal. So it was just like the unthinkable. And now having that all gone, you have to create almost a new life. I'm questioning if I want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sure you maybe I don't want to speak for you, but I don't know if you're feeling the same or like. A lot of friends are the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for sure we're now in like healing, rebuilding era and a season. And I'm just like wondering like where you guys are at now. Mm-hmm. So like when did you realize, Bella, that you guys were A, in danger and B, it was like game over?
Such a good question. So I got home from, you know, I went to go work out because I was like, I just
need to move my body.
Yeah. And then I got home and the sky was just black and I was like,
wait, so weren't you supposed to be evacuated?
So yeah, I went to another gym because I'm psycho.
Bella,
and I was like, I was like 10 minutes into my workout and I was like, if there's anything I need right now, it's
regardless I'm working out.
No, I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Elliot was working, my parents were going to evacuate, I had nowhere to go. I was like, I'm just gonna go to the gym because it's like my safe
space.
And then I got home and I was like, this is really – Elliot was working. I don't think he realized.
You were in Santa Monica.
Yeah, I was in Santa Monica. I'm at our apartment. And I realized it was bad when we were watching the news. I think it was like 6 or 7 at night. And it was my high school that started to go on fire.
Baby Palisades.
Palisades High School. And then it started jumping over to Radcliffe, which is my mom's street. And I just remember them saying, Radcliffe is on fire and there's not a firefighter in sight. And I turned to Elliot and I just started bawling. And I was like – This is it. Like, there's no way. And he was like, no, don't worry. I think he was like trying to be, you know, compassionate and reassuring. Like, your house is, you know, your mom's house is a bit away. It's like, there's no way. think he knew it in his heart that like he was just soothing me. But yeah. I think part of me wanted to believe that it was true, that it was too far. And then, you know, my dad didn't tell me this that night, but he got the alarms, like the alarm on his phone when the smoke alarms go off, and they were just ringing at 7 o'clock, and the house went down within 10 minutes. Thank you. It went down
in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
And like, these are things that people don't know, they don't talk about, but like, for you to like, it's a sense of helplessness and like groundlessness where you're like, there's nothing that I can do to stop this, to change this, to make this better. And like, what did you do in that moment besides just like, I mean, I know, break down.
I mean, I was the next morning, I woke up to a text from my mom and she said, the house is gone. And I have never let out a scream so loud.
Baby.
It was like this barbaric, like, I can't even explain the feeling of like emptiness and shock and disbelief. And just also reading that, like, oh, sickening. And then, you know, a couple hours later, my dad let me know that the other house was gone. And then I think we had the news that the beach house, the rental property, was standing. And we were like, hallelujah, this is our one thing. And then water, you know, swept it away and it cracked in half. And
wait, okay.
Water.
So that wasn't because of the fire.
Mm-mm. It was standing.
Because of why?
Water. So what happened was the neighbors above, we got one water main to shut off. But the other one wouldn't shut off. They couldn't find the valve or whatever. And so there was 3 days worth of water going down that hill.
Shit.
And it was just enough.
These are things that you wouldn't even think. I mean, if you think about the flooding, like, God forbid there was crazy rain. Like, flooding from fires. Like, there are still things that we don't have control over.
Right.
That we've no idea, like, how this is going to affect.
Oh, my gosh. Never in a million years. And then my dad got word that the house split in half.
Great.
And he was like, the way he said, this is a kick in the teeth.
Yeah.
He was just, at that point, I think we were kind of just numb to everything, that we were like, well, there's the other one. Like, it's just crazy.
So, Bells, how, like, first of all, this is kind of insane. And this is something that, especially as 20-somethings, I don't think we ever realize or expect or assume that we have to navigate is, like, taking care of like our families or our parents' like mental well-being. And I think that's something that you've been faced with right now, is like, how can I be there and support my parents? Like, that is a lot to hold.
Yeah. So
how is that, like, what has that been like for you?
It's, I mean, I feel like no matter what I do, it's never enough, because there's just no amount of support that I feel like I can give as a person to them for what they need right now. I mean, I've never seen my parents like this. Like, I had this text exchange with my dad yesterday. I was like, I've never felt so numb in my life. And he was like, me too. And it's just hearing that from your parents, you think of them as these like superheroes, you know, like they're these older
together.
They got their shit together. They're older, they're wiser, but like, they're grieving and dealing with it times, I mean, it's their house, like, they were the owners, like, they're just dealing with this times a million. So I'm doing everything I can to just be resourceful, take things off their plate, and just like, honestly, be there to hug them and just to check in on them. And like, because, you know, you offer to help and there's only so much that other people can do, because a lot of it is sadly just like stuff that only they know, with it, whether it's like insurance. I mean, their lives right now, like, I was just with my mom going store to store on Abercrombie because she needs a list of everything she's ever purchased from like Lululemon and J. Crew to prove to insurance that, you know, she had these items to get money back. So, you know, just going like store to store and trying to help out and just keeping them calm as much as I can. But I've, you know, they're incredible. Like, they are both, despite everything, are keeping their heads up. They're waking up. They're, you know, they're still moving their bodies. They're taking care of themselves as much as they can. But I mean, they're hurting. It's hard to watch your parents go through it.
I cannot imagine. But I can imagine in a way that, like, it is cool, even regardless of how flipping devastating this is.
Yeah.
I think the gift is like watching your parents and yourself like move forward together.
Yeah.
And that's super inspiring. And even like in the moments of like when you're in the hole, like even when I just heard of you talking to your dad, like texting him and you being like, I'm numb, and him being like, I'm numb. Like, in a way, those moments, I think, really bond people together.
Oh, my God. I was telling Elliot, my boyfriend, like, we're going to have some trauma bonds, sister.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have been through some shit in the past couple of years. My car was stolen last year. Like, there has been a lot of loss. Like, we had to move out of our apartment because of black mold. Like,
yeah, you've been dealing with it a lot, Bella. It has been
constant. Job stuff, like, constant. So, like, you know, with your family, you're going to have some – it really does bring you together with his family, too. Like, we've – it's just crazy how people show up and how they respond in these times is so indicative, I think, of who you are at your core. Because when, you know, when things are great, anyone can be great. But
absolutely.
When this is like the ultimate test, I think anyone, this death, sickness, like, I don't know if any, I can think of anything that much more extreme.
No. And it is like a weird concept to like, especially when it comes to physical things, it's like losing what was and kind of healing what like is no longer.
Right.
And knowing that like you can never take up space in that space again. And I think it's obviously, we all know, listening to people who are listening right now that is have hopefully not, but maybe have lost a home from this. Yeah. Like, it's not just a home. No, like, it's a space of memories. It's a space, like, even clothes hold memories. Like, I was evacuated and I'm like, I need to just go back and make sure that I have a couple of pieces of clothing because, like, they hold memories of course. Like your self-expression. It's how you navigate the world and show up and, like, so many other things in the home, I think, symbolize that.
Of course, it's your stuff. And yes, of course, we could argue all day it's material things, but it's things you collect over time. It's also, like, baby photos, yearbooks, and stuff that your mom was saving for you for your daughters if you were lucky enough to have them. Like, you know, it's everything. But to your point, like, of course it's stuff, of course it's, you know, a house, a material thing, it can all be replaced, but some of it can't. And it also, like, it was your stuff. And I think that's what my parents have been saying. It's so amazing that all these brands are showing up and people are showing up and donating clothes. But I think some people can relate to this, and this isn't to sound ungrateful, but my mom was like, I liked my clothes, like, I liked my stuff. Yeah. You know, it's awesome. It's so amazing. But like, I miss my stuff. And I think that's fair. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that people accumulate things and buy things because they love them. And that makes people happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, I've heard a couple of my friends say, like, I feel bad to say that I just wish that I had that certain object back. And it's like, no, like, that belonged to you. That was yours. And I think you have every right to, like, feel that way.
Yeah, we're human. We live in a superficial world too. We all like to look nice and feel good, and, you know, we buy things that mean something to us, even on a superficial level. But the memories, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So thinking about, like, what regardless means, right? Like, if I've learned freaking anything, and I know you know this about me, and I'm sure you can absolutely fucking relate.
Yeah.
But, like, these last 3 months have been
hell.
Hell.
Can we swear?
Hell.
Hell.
Yes, you can fucking
hell on
swear.
Earth. Yeah. Like, what words do we choose?
Like, lots of fucking loss. And this is what I've realized. I think before the wildfires, like, personally for me, I was grieving already. Like, I was grieving a 2.5 year relationship. I was grieving a career path. I was grieving, well, now I'm grieving the wildfires and potentially losing a lease in my apartment here.
Cannot believe that.
But I have to say, regardless of all of that, I think the heartbreak and the layoff, because I already started doing the internal work and, like, finding resources that were helping me in healing, I think I'm really at this place right now of, like, holy shit, like, of course, here we go, another thing, this sucks, I'm in it with you, but, like, I feel like I'm inspired to support my community, and what I'm seeing, and I hope this continues, but, like, what we were saying about brands and businesses coming together and friends and LA, like, I do hope that this continues in a way to, like, soften LA, but also energize us and, like, be the catalyst to massive momentum and growth financially and emotionally for everyone.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's my hope.
Yeah. I hope so too, because I think there was such an immediate response
of
people, like, donating, helping, reaching out, and it was amazing and beautiful. But I've already seen it kind of go radio silent, which I think tends to happen with a lot of natural disasters and events. And it's making me think about, even in the past with other disasters that have happened, I probably went radio silent too. And it's a good reminder, whether it's someone who's losing, you know, maybe a death in the family or something, to be that person 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, to still be the catalyst, to still be the person reaching out, to still be the person offering to drop a meal. Like, I think this is such a good reminder to just be fucking human, to just be more generous, be more loving, be more neighborly. Like, that is such a takeaway for me, because it shouldn't have to take, you know,
a natural freaking disaster
or state of emergency for LA.
To hear from your friends, to hear from, you know, it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I'm so appreciative and I was astounded. But my God, I think we all need to soften a little bit. I think we all need to bring flowers to our friends, check in on them, you know, like bring them their favorite Erewhon. Like, that's a good reminder for me to be that friend.
And I agree. And I think that this is a very sad reminder. It's getting a little too close. A sad reminder that, like, we're all going to go through state of emergencies individually.
Yeah.
That is inevitable.
Inevitable.
Like, it's inevitable we are going to feel pain. It's inevitable we're going to feel grief. Like, let's normalize grief.
100%.
It can happen on a day-to-day basis.
100%.
But I think this is a reminder that ongoing, how can we check in with our friends who are hurting?
Yeah.
How can we check in? I mean, even from this, like, state of emergency, like, I finally heard from my ex, and I'm like, why does it have to take a natural disaster
for you to check in?
So, but it's like, I think what you're saying is, like, let's keep this love and support a thing for our friends and our community and for LA, because we need each other.
We do.
And I think especially for you as being a victim of this, like, what has been the most supportive and helpful for you in regards to support from friends, from community throughout all of this? Like, what has been the most helpful?
So interesting. I feel like I don't want to make a blanket statement and say everything, but I think everything has had a place at the right time. Mm. Like, people who have just come over and stopped by initially with clothes and food, like, that was so needed and so appreciated, especially when it first happened. Like, I had a couple friends just drop things by, and even just to see them and give them a hug and just cry to them was so needed. And then, you know, moving forward, just like my friend dropping off Erewhon the other night when Elliot and I were like starving, couldn't even think about making dinner. You know, it's just little things that you don't think about. And I've also had amazing support from like the fitness community. Someone gifted me a gym membership because my gym burned down and my Pilates studio burned down, so my income is compromised at the moment. And they, like, that's huge, like, and so generous, and something I will never forget. So that's obviously a larger scale.
Also,
and I'm
talk
so
about
grateful.
Brand loyalty, just saying.
I mean, anyone who's doing and showing up as a brand, I see you. Yeah. I will support you forever. Yeah. And it's not tit for tat. It's, wow, good on you.
Yeah.
I will be there as a person to, you know, on the
same
other
friendships.
End.
Friendships. Any relationship.
Anyone who showed up, you remember. Elliot and I talked about it the other night over dinner. Like, we will remember the people who are showing up forever. It'll make the weddings that much more special when you have all these people, and I'm like, they've just gotten you through the worst of times.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't wait for that day when we're able to somehow thank people and just like have everyone and maybe celebrate, because things right now don't feel celebratory. No. Having fun is not really possible
priority.
Right now. It's not a priority. Like, I've been living in sweatpants and this. But that day will come again. You know, it's not going to be like this forever. But yeah, the brand support is huge. I think that it's a good reminder for me if I ever were to start a brand, as generous as you can be. I think I also respect the line between, like, I know these people run businesses and that's not to take away from their livelihood. But my God, I mean, Set Active sprung into action right away. Like, I will never forget that.
Wow.
They immediately donated clothes to my sister. She lost everything. So, yeah.
Because your sister was living at home.
Yeah, she was living
Please send
home.
Her my love.
You're so sweet. Yeah, poor thing. Was working, came home from work, packed her car, and then left.
And it happens just like that, you know?
Just like, that's a thing. Anything can be taken away from you. And it's just such a good reminder to be so present. My boyfriend's dad says, drink the good wine. Like, drink the fucking good wine. You know, be present. Like, love on yourself. I know you deserve a glass of wine.
I've been drinking a little bit too much.
No. You know, if there's any time. Dry January.
Not a thing anymore.
Mm-mm. New Year's resolutions. Dry January. No. Out the window.
No.
Just, like, any way you can take care of yourself.
It is really interesting because, remember, like, I was talking to a couple of my girlfriends about this. But 2025, like, I was finally back in my groove. I was so excited to be in LA. Was, like, killing it. Had, like, business meetings. I'm feeling
fucking on fire.
Yeah. And then, on fire.
No pun intended. Oh my God. And then literally the day that the fires broke out, my dad, being so neurotic, he calls me in the morning because I had a meeting at Neuhaus. And he's like, Sky, the winds are crazy. This is fire, hurricane, earthquake weather.
Yeah.
Be careful driving. Like, I don't want you driving because big trucks will be like throwing around like rocks and dirt. And I'm like, Dad, calm down. Like, nothing's going to happen. You're just being a little delulu.
That's what I thought.
And then on my way back from Neuhaus, fire, smoke. And I'm like, all right, 2025, what is the lesson here? What's going on?
That's what I keep, and maybe it's too big to even think about or solve right now, but what, like, there's always a reason for this stuff happening. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe we're going to find out. Maybe we won't, you know?
And I think the pivot for me, it's like, regardless of what's showing up, what is the lesson here? Because if I've learned anything, and I know we are in the same boat with this, with jobs, uncertainty, loss, grief, all of it this past year.
What even am I doing tomorrow? I don't know.
But like, the question is like, okay, universe, God, whatever, this is a thing, this is present. Like, what is the lesson here?
What is this trying to teach me? I mean, I think like, that regardless what happens, like what really matters is your family, your health, and that's it.
Nothing is guaranteed.
Because these people could have everything. You could have the biggest, most beautiful home in the Palisades, drive the nicest cars. Some people walked on Palisades Drive, had to leave their cars. They walked away with what was on their bodies.
I remember seeing that on the news.
Like that. And that's all you have at the end of the day, you know?
All you have is your vessel.
Your vessel. And we got to take care of it. We got to love on it. We got to, you know, nourish it and appreciate it.
So, Bells, regardless of losing two homes, what have you learned about your parents through this?
They have an incredible amount of resilience, more than I could have ever imagined. They've always been the most positive people. I don't know if you've met my parents, but they're both like—
Your mom's amazing. Oh, I haven't met your dad. Please give her a huge kiss for me.
Oh, she's love her. Cutest. Love her. He's the same. He's golden retriever energy. Oh, like,
I love that.
Ta-da! You know, hey, Belle's cousin. Like, just very like 6'5" string bean, like eats, you know, like a little
literally
ant
you.
And like, oh
literally
my God, no. Like has his like 12 cookies and like, you know, he's just so cute. But regardless, he's still smiling. He's still taking the dogs on their walk every day. He's still calling me, you know, checking in. Like, they're just amazing and so giving. And I think it's also a good reminder to me to, like, always be generous and gracious with your time, your energy, your resources, your money, as silly as that sounds. Like, that's energy. And it's always the people who don't have anything who give everything. Yeah. And I think that's what I'm seeing from them.
I have chills. Yeah. What have you learned about your relationship with Elliot?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry that I'm name dropping him.
No, love please you, Elliot. Name drop. We love you, Elliot. He is
amazing photographer, by the way.
Amazing. Amazing. He is my rock. He has been the most stable thing, the most supportive, has helped me when I'm crying, which has been a lot lately.
Yeah.
Cooking, cleaning, like he has just stepped up, and his family too. Like they have just taken such good care of us. My mom's gonna be living with his parents. They are the most angelic people. Like, my God, it just restores your faith in humanity, meeting these people. Like, knowing, I mean, I just feel so lucky to have them. But he's just been everything. I don't know what I would do without him.
You know what? Like, and it's through moments like this where you learn so much, not only about yourself, but also, like, your relationship.
Yes.
And if you guys can get through this, girl.
Oh my God.
When are you getting married?
No, literally. You know, like, it's sad. We have all these plans, too, which I won't, like, fully reveal in the podcast.
Okay.
But, like, those are probably paused for now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just
– in divine timing.
Yes, exactly. And it really just a lot – like, it's a test, but it's – I've been so astounded by the way that we've been able to hold space for each other and the way that he's stepped up. And,
beautiful.
Like, I think above all, just we – you know, it's a reminder just to be kind to each other. We're both grieving in our own ways. We've been together for 10 years. Like, he was spent so much time at that house too and in the Palisades. I would drag him there as much as
family.
I could.
He's family.
He's family. Yeah. So just holding space for each other and allowing each other to go through the process, you know, in our own time, but really just trying to like love on each other through this. And I think he's just, I learned so much from him through this.
And regardless of losing what was, what have you learned about yourself through all of this? Like, has it I don't know, has it expanded your perspective or expanded your world in any way?
In more ways than I can imagine. I think at first I was like in action mode and just really trying to help and use my platform as a way to spread resources. And
you've done, Bella, first of all, such a phenomenal job of just supporting your community.
Thank you.
And honestly, bringing the most important resources and brands to the forefront. It's been pretty amazing to watch.
Thank you.
Just had to say
that. I appreciate that. And I just felt called to like be vulnerable and film like daily check-ins and videos. And I think I've just learned that I think I'm more resilient than I thought that I was. This, you know, despite all of this, I think through watching my parents even, I have a really great example. But like, I can handle a lot that comes my way. And like, okay, like, let's just build resiliency. Like, I don't know about the word at this point, but
it is
like just being resilient and like, because life will hand you a shit sandwich and it will throw shit at you consistently. And I think in a way this is building me up for something. I have to believe that there's purpose behind this, and maybe I'm just being prepared for something bigger. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, maybe it's just so that is what has been kind of getting me through.
This is so healing. I was actually, my mom called me because
I love your mama.
She adores you.
Give her a big kiss.
I will.
For me. She's so cute.
I will. And she, like, yeah, she's been everything throughout.
Oh,
everything, I literally. Mean,
especially now, I'm sure. Oh,
but it was interesting because we were, I was on the phone with her and we were just talking about the wildfires. I'm like, oh my God, like, I just feel like I haven't gotten a break. And I know that's so selfish for me to say, but like, I think we are all entitled to our own experience and perspective, right?
That's what I tell people. Regardless of losing a home or not, everyone, whether you're in California or not, is affected. This affects everybody. Didn't mean to cut you off. But
no,
you're in
100%. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying
that. It's affecting everyone.
And I love what you said about shit, because this is what my mom told me. On the phone, she's like, Sky, how do like flowers bloom? How do they blossom? And I go, like, water, light, whatever. And she goes, well, what are they like? What are they in? Like, what is their foundation? I'm like, dirt. And she goes, well, what else is it made of, the dirt? And I'm like, manure. And she's like, yeah, shit. Poop. She goes, in order to grow, you have to deal with the shit. There has to be shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so LA, this is the shit.
This is the shit.
Regardless, how are we going to grow from this? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to pivot? You are a prime example of that. I'm a prime example of that. And whoever's listening, you are as well. So it's our time.
It is. I think it's everyone's time to like really reassess, reevaluate what's important and step up and keep moving forward, because we cannot sit. We cannot sit. We have to keep going. We have to prop each other up and be there for each other and just move forward. That's all we can do.
I love you. Okay.
Love you.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Regardless of blank, I am blank.
Regardless of what life throws at me, I'm going to say it again. I am resilient and grateful.
Stunning.
You're stunning.
So proud of you.
Sorry, God, that I didn't shower.
Babe.
I was saying, you guys, just a PSA, that this is just indicative of my life right now.
Babe, but like, come in full Bella Force, full real raw, outfit. All of it.
This is what it is, baby. I'm just giving it to you. I love
I'm so
you.
Proud
Thank
of
you for having
I'm
me.
I'm so freaking proud of you.
Thank you. I'm honored. You're inspiring. To be your friend.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Mwah.
Babe.
Love you.
New episodes drop every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.